This is the Next Level Running Podcast, brought to you by the expert coaches at Rundoya, helping runners of all levels crush their goals on race day by matching you with the perfect coach or training plan. Hello, and welcome back to the Next Level Running Podcast. I'm your host, Jacob Phillips, and this month, we're coming to you with another Instagram Live replay from Coach Will Benitez. But before I give you the details on that, hey, it's Christmas time. So first off, Merry Christmas. But secondly, if you're looking for that perfect Christmas gift for your runner friend or family, or even yourself, look no further than rundoyan.com. The best gift that you can give your runner friends is a world-class run coach. And we've got a full, extensive roster of world-class run coaches, experts here at rundoyan.com. We also have a unique match feature that helps match you or your friend and family with the perfect run coach for them. That's an awesome feature where you're able to do a consultation with the coach, get to see if you match his or her personality and philosophy, and can make a choice on whether or not they're the right fit for you. If you're not quite ready to hire a coach, the next best option is joining the Doyen Dashers program for only $39 a month. There's also a free trial involved. The Doyen Dasher training program gives you unlimited calculating training plans, access to online training logs, exclusive video training libraries, and chat support with the Rundoyan coach. So check that out at rundoyan.com. Also, I want to point you down to the show notes below. I'll have a link to rundoyan.com with the extensive roster of expert coaches and the Doyen Dashers program, all that below. But I also want to point you to the at Rundoyan Instagram page. Hey, if you're on Instagram, you're not following at Rundoyan, click that follow button. There's great running content there almost every day, whether it's clips from this podcast, tips from our world-class expert coaches, race recaps. It's a great place to be if you're looking for running content. If Instagram's not your thing and you're on Facebook, then join our Facebook community group, the Next Level Running Community Group. It's very similar to what we've got going on over here at Instagram, but allows you to be a little bit more interactive with it. Ask questions, seek out advice, give advice, just be part of the conversation there. And finally, this month, the Instagram Live replay, it's with Coach Will Benitez himself. He's typically the host, but this week, or this month, he's actually giving advice from his background. If you didn't know, Coach Will is our in-house nutritionist here at rundoyan.com. And so this month, he's going to give us some nutrition tips for recovery and race week. So if you're trying to step up your nutrition game or trying to crush those nutrition goals, Coach Will, he's the man for you. So without further ado, here's Coach Will as he gives us some nutrition tips for recovery and race week.
Hello, Rundoyan community. It's so good to be with you. It's also really nice to not have to wait awkwardly for a guest, and that is because I am today's guest. Usually I'm the one interviewing folks and letting people know that, you know, introducing the topic for the day and letting people know who the guest will be, but we have not covered nutrition in a good while. It's one of our top podcast episodes. I am reminded monthly via our newsletter, which is really exciting. I'm always happy to see and learn that people are still interested in nutrition. I, as the nutritionist for Rundoyan, am just always appreciative of that, and, you know, obviously very supportive in pushing that message forward, because truly, nutrition is quite vital for, you know, seeing improvements in running, reaching those running goals that we all have. Even if that's just staying healthy as a runner, because nutrition just really is has a vital role in obviously performance needs and performance potential, but other matters such as sleep and stress management, like, it really just is foundational to all of these different areas that we think of when we think of performance and we think of recovery. So again, we are here today to talk about that, and I'll our topic for today formally is Fuel Recover Optimize, a nutrition Q&A. So we've got some kind of main topics that people are interested in. We did a poll via stories, and I think for the last couple of days or so, and I've got three main topics that people expressed a good amount of interest in, so we'll cover those. And then if people want to drop comments or questions, if we have time, I'll only be on here for about 25 more minutes at the half hour mark. I've got a boogie, but if you have comments or questions, put them in the comments section, and I should be able to access this later. So if I don't get to them based on time, I'll just make a note to come back, get those questions responded to, and then we'll have someone post those replies. I'm adding some more work for this person, but we'll have someone post those replies in as stories, which hopefully can be really helpful for others. Again, that's if we get some comments or questions. But please, please do, if you have questions about fueling, recovering, optimize, anything to do with those kind of areas of nutrition, please drop them in the comments section. I didn't do this to start, and that's okay, but my name is Will. I am the in-house nutritionist for Rundoyan. I have been running for many, many years. I have been a nutritionist for getting close to 7 years now. I have been with Rundoyan since the start of Rundoyan, which is always really exciting to say and to think about. And yeah, I love working with runners. Again, I'm a runner myself. This community is vast and growing and is just vibrant and super supportive and just a really positive, wonderful community to be a part of, this big and broad running community. So with that out of the way, I'm going to the main topics, we'll see how much we can kind of, how deep we can go within these topics, and of course I'll take comments and questions throughout. The three main topics that people expressed interest in via our stories were best recovery foods, vitamins and minerals for endurance. And when I see like for endurance, I'm thinking basically for our runners. I mean, you know, this is an endurance based activity. And I'll get into some that, you know, when I think of like more like marathoners and maybe even half marathoners and beyond, like ultra running. Some other kind of things that I think about within kind of vitamins, minerals, maybe even some food specifically. And then the third topic, where are you? Of course, I have a little cheat sheet here, is race week nutrition. So always a fun topic to talk about, particularly with runners who have events coming up, or maybe they know that their race week nutrition doesn't get a whole lot of attention, or didn't even know that it should get attention. So we'll cover some thoughts of mine on race week nutrition. If people have comments or questions about those, I wouldn't be surprised if that one picks people's attention up. Please do, again, include your comments or questions in the comment section. So we'll start with, let's start with best recovery foods. And again, I have a cheat sheet here. I just made a bunch of notes as I was preparing for this call. And I'll keep an eye on the comment section as well. Again, you can always post your comments or questions about anything I'm saying or anything else regarding fueling, recovering, and optimizing within the nutrition realm. But when it comes to recovery, what I like to often remind the clients and runners that I work with is that recovery starts right after the run. And you can also kind of think about it starting before the run. There is evidence showing that how and what you pre-fuel with can support your recovery via lower or reduced inflammatory markers post-run. So there are studies out there that have shown that when you pre-fuel with carbohydrates and potentially protein as well, and BCAAs is part of that, branched-chain amino acids, that basically what we see is a more recovered body and a more quickly recovered body post-run, post-workout. So again, recovery can also happen before, not just after. And I think also fueling, like during the run, can play into those inflammatory markers after. But basically, recovery is happening all the time, right? Like you're training for, you know, small percentage of the day, of your week, right? If you count up all those hours. And recovery is happening all the other hours, right? All the other minutes of the day, recovery is happening. So this is really something to if you want to, you know, optimize and you know, improve your performance potential, focusing on recovery and optimizing your recovery in every which way you possibly can really bring your performance potential up and really kind of just set you up for more success when it comes to, you know, making progress and reaching those goals that you have. So when it comes to recovery, nutrition is a huge part of it, right? There's sleep, there's stress management, there's just living a healthy lifestyle. Also, there's, you know, going about your training in a healthy way. But then there's also food, and nutrition can, you know, again, be foundational to a lot of these other areas. But the topic that got some interest for our purposes today is on best recovery foods, so foods that can help boost recovery. So I'll kind of read some foods that I wanted to kind of highlight here, and then you know, talk a little bit about why for each of those. So I've got one. I couldn't talk about bananas. Just bananas being a great source of carbohydrates and potassium. Potassium, of course, can help with preventing muscle cramps and replenishing electrolytes lost through sweat. So when it comes to recovery, electrolytes being a part of that, looking at foods that can supply electrolytes, you know, it's not always just about electrolyte supplements. Bananas, right, tried and true, to runner's favorite for the most part. Getting that carbohydrate back in the diet, but then also being a really good source of potassium. Now, it's kind of a potassium poster child food of this mineral, but there are many other foods like avocado and sweet potato that are also wonderful sources of potassium. So if you don't like bananas or you just can't do it every day, that's fine. Eat these other foods like avocado and sweet potato. Like I mentioned, there's a bunch of foods super, super high in potassium. Actually, those foods are higher in potassium than bananas. So that's a little fun fact for you. Greek yogurt or other kind of higher protein yogurts for that reason, right? It's a great source of protein. If it's fruited, it's gonna, you know, offer more carbohydrates. If it's fruited, of course, the fruited ones tend to have more added sugar. Which if it's post, like immediately post run, is not a bad thing. I just don't usually on a day-to-day basis recommend the high added sugar yogurts. So ideally it's plain and you can just kind of do it up yourself with fresh, you know, berries and cinnamon, maybe a touch of honey or maple syrup for some extra sweetness. But when you can control for the sweetness, you bring down those added sugars a lot more, which again, day to day, that's optimal. If it's right after or right before a run, usually yogurt's not happening right before a run, but the sugars are less of a concern. And then of course with yogurts and other fermented foods, you've got the helpful probiotics for, you know, supporting gut health, which we know supports recovery and a whole slew of other you know, benefits that can come from eating more fermented foods and probiotics. The other thing that I want to highlight is antioxidants. So when it comes to exercise and running and getting into more endurance events, you're going to increase inflammation. It's a fact. It is perfectly okay. It's a very natural thing when you are exercising that there is exercise-induced inflammation. The one thing that we want to make sure that we're doing is supporting recovery to mitigate that, to make sure that that inflammation that's occurring is handled appropriately and doesn't lead to chronic inflammation. So there are overuse injuries, for example. There's symptoms or syndromes that can occur when chronic inflammation is not really mitigated or it's not really handled effectively. So we want to make sure that we can, every way we can, reduce the potential for that. And getting more antioxidants through our diet is really critical for that. So berries can be a great fruit to include in your diet on a fairly regular basis. Of course, if it's not available fresh out of the season, then get frozen. Totally fine to have frozen berries. But other fruits will be just fine, right? So right now we're not really seeing fresh local berries, but if it's apples, that's fine, right? Apples are high in antioxidants. Other citrus fruits are high in antioxidants. Coming into season, we've got persimmon and pomegranate. These are great foods for increasing antioxidants in our diet. Other foods that we're kind of really in good season with right now is winter squash, right? So winter squash, also you can think of sweet potatoes here too. Really high source of antioxidants. What's also great about those foods is also a great source of carbohydrates that can help replenish glycogen, which is, you know, being used and needed for endurance activity. And then I mentioned, or I wrote down here, dark leafy greens, because those are going to be really great sources of antioxidants as well. And of course, good source for iron. Of course, it's a plant-based non-heme iron, but still a really great way to kind of increase iron. And it's a good idea to increase iron as many different ways as you can. And this is going to be, you know, really important for oxygen transport to muscles and then overall energy needs as well. I got two other foods I want to make sure I highlight here. One is salmon, another kind of fatty fish. These are going to be really great sources of omega-3 fatty acids, which are going to be super anti-inflammatory and, you know, supportive for joint health. So for runners who just getting into running or have other kind of, you know, injuries, mainly joint-related injuries, thinking about omega-3 fatty acids can be a really important and helpful way to mitigate some of that, you know, pain and discomfort, or even just prevent it entirely. And then, of course, those omega-3 fatty acids are just going to be really important for improving recovery in general. So I mentioned salmon and fatty fish. If you aren't a fish person, or even if you love fish but you don't eat fish that regularly, not too many folks eat it even weekly or you know, multiple times a week, then there are other foods. So, and I'm going to probably talk about omega-3s again, or maybe I won't if I mention it now, but I'm thinking of like flax seeds, for example, or chia seeds, walnuts as well. So, you know, you've got fish oil if you want to supplement that route. You also have flax seed oil, which you can supplement. If you're, you know, vegetarian or plant-based, you can go that route. But again, you can just choose a food. So again, in conjunction with fatty fish, rotate in your diet chia seeds, flax seeds, walnuts. These are other great sources of omega-3 fatty acids. And then I wanted to mention tart cherry juice, or more specifically tart cherry concentrate. I tout tart cherry concentrate any chance I get, because it's a wonderful food for promoting recovery. It's a natural source and a high source of melatonin, so it's really helpful for promoting good sleep. And it's also just super high antioxidant, super high in antioxidants. It's really high antioxidant count. So yes, dark red tart cherries themselves are really great, but can't get those all the time. So tart cherry concentrate, not the juice, not like apple juice, but cherry juice, more of the thicker to thicker consistency. That's going to be a really great almost supplement. It's a food. It's 100% cherries, but I guess you can lump it into the supplement category. It's going to be a really great supplement for boosting recovery. So I do often recommend tart cherry concentrate to folks. You can get it in like capsule tablet form. I like it in the syrup form in a bottle. And I'll just add it to smoothies or add it to water, or often just take tablespoons of it. And because it's high in sugar, it is 100% cherries. Sometimes I'll do it right before a run or workout, just kind of add it to my pre-fueling, you know, nutrition plan, if you will. But again, tart cherry, just super, super great for promoting recovery. Again, the carbohydrates, so it has that, you know, the carbohydrates are going to play a role in helping recovery. It has the antioxidants, so again, really helpful for reducing that exercise-induced inflammation. And then melatonin for sleep. So for that reason, you may, if people struggle with sleep, you can also include a little bit of tart cherry at nighttime, like an hour or so, maybe 90 minutes before bed, and see if it helps there. And I've seen many clients indicate that it does. They do think it has supported their sleep. So love tart cherry concentrate for that reason. Okay, real quick, let me see if I get any questions here. I don't think I saw any come in. Totally fine. If you have questions about fueling, recovering, optimizing foods, just drop them in the comment section. I'm gonna move on to vitamins and minerals for endurance, and I'll just touch on, I probably won't go, I probably took too many notes, so I don't think I'll cover all of them. But the number one that I mentioned was iron. Just make sure as runners, especially if you're getting into more endurance or just you're running all the time, it's just becoming more than just a hobby for you, that you are getting adequate iron in your diet. And if you're concerned or you're displaying signs of fatigue or inability to finish workouts, that sort of thing, then go get tested. Just get your iron tested, see where your ferritin is at. Make sure ferritin is part of that iron test. But iron, again, essential for carrying oxygen to the blood, or in the blood to muscles, part of the reason why there's the inability to finish workouts if you're low iron or low ferritin. Runners, especially females, should be making sure that they're getting their iron tested. It doesn't have to be a regular thing. It could be annual. If someone has a history of low iron or low ferritin, then maybe they're testing more regularly. But you do just want to be aware of what your iron levels are, again, especially if you're displaying any sort of potential symptom there. Calcium and vitamin D, super important compounds, calcium being a mineral, vitamin D being a vitamin, for bone health, right? And of course, in there, I'd also likely lump in magnesium, which I'll touch on after this, and vitamin K or K2. They do have a role in bone health, a pretty important role, particularly with vitamin D, for example, like magnesium. So vitamin D supports calcium absorption, and magnesium supports vitamin D absorption or conversion. So these minerals and nutrients, they really do play a synergistic role together. So it's, you know, sometimes not always going to be enough to just supplement with calcium, for example, and just think that you got your bone health covered. Or even calcium and vitamin D. Yes, those are often sold together. But again, there are other nutrients to kind of think about here. So calcium, vitamin D, and I'll add in vitamin K2 and magnesium. And again, you can supplement with those, but it's also really great to make sure that you're getting them from your food. Again, that synergy part, often we see that more in food than kind of in isolated compound form, such as supplements. So those are going to be excellent for bone health. I mentioned magnesium and that I wanted to kind of touch on it separately, and I do because magnesium is super, super critical for so many other reasons. I mentioned its role in bone health, but muscle function as well, and energy production. So muscle function, thinking about muscle contraction and relaxation, is just really important. So for example, if I have runners and they're dealing with like restless leg syndrome, or muscle cramping at nighttime, I'll often make sure that they're including magnesium, as either increasing magnesium in their diet from foods and or looking at supplementing with magnesium to help with that muscular activity that's clearly heightened for those individuals. I mean, magnesium is like involved in 500 plus conversions and mechanisms in the body. So it's got a huge role in the body, and often I'm doing dietary analyses for all my clients. I'm often seeing the need to increase magnesium for folks. So if you're interested in that, you could supplement with magnesium and see if you're noticing any benefits, or you can, you know, contact me, potentially get a dietary analysis done, and you know, in our first month together, and see what your needs are for all these different nutrients. Or you can, of course, you know, log your foods in a particular app, and maybe it provides you with your magnesium content from your foods, and you just kind of go from there. But magnesium, definitely one that I highlight. Vitamin C and vitamin E, thinking of their antioxidant activity. So those are definitely ones you want to make sure that you are getting regularly. If you don't eat a lot of plant foods, you don't really have a lot of fiber in your diet, chances are you aren't getting adequate vitamin C. Somewhat chances are you're also not getting adequate vitamin E, but I definitely see a correlation of low fiber, lower carbohydrate diets, and not getting enough vitamin C. And that's because those foods that contain a lot of vitamin C are foods like vegetables and like dark greens and bell peppers, sweet potato, and of course fruits. So again, if you don't really have a lot of those in your diet, you might not be getting enough vitamin C, and that's super critical for it's really important for a healthy immune system, also really important for the antioxidant potential of vitamin C. So do increase that. Vitamin C also has a role in tissue repair. So if you're injured, or whether it's like you're out of the count injured, just like you've got, you know, take a month or longer off of running, or you're just kind of dealing with like a niggle, vitamin C can be really helpful in that tissue repair. So really important to keep including in your diet, or at least, you know, potentially enhancing in your diet. And then sodium. I'm skipping a bunch, so I'm just gonna go right to sodium. When it comes to vitamins and minerals for endurance, a lot of people, maybe outside of running in particular, are like nervous about sodium, right? Don't have too much sodium in your diet, gonna increase your blood pressure. Athletes, especially runners though, they often need more sodium. It's kind of maybe surprising to a lot of folks how much sodium you can lose in running. Of course, when it's warmer, but even when it's not warm, you still can lose a lot. Usually the range I see per hour is anywhere from like 800 milligrams of sodium to like thousands plus, like sometimes more than 3,000 milligrams per hour. So if people are, you know, two hour long run or more, you could be losing a lot of sodium, and even your electrolyte supplement may not be sufficient for replenishing all the sodium that you actually need. So that's really just to say, not to necessarily be afraid. Of course, if you have a medical condition, then maybe it's a whole different story, but to not be necessarily afraid of sodium, and to, you know, another reason to maybe look into using electrolytes for that reason. Of course, there's a popular one called Element that I often see and even sometimes recommend to clients. It's more of a higher sodium supplement that people can use, supplement electrolyte that people can use. And again, it doesn't have to necessarily just be hot conditions. And we're heading into, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere, the colder months. Some folks are already running in snow. But again, you are still sweating a lot and you are still losing a lot of sodium. So pay attention to your sodium needs, your hydration levels, your thirst. If you want to, if for any reason you want to get tested, you can test your sodium loss rate. It's not just your sweat rate, but your sodium loss rate in particular. It's a whole different test. You can do that if you really want to dig into the details. But if you're just not using, this is like baseline, if you're not using electrolytes and you're actively training or running very regularly, then consider using electrolytes. And most electrolytes will have, of the minerals that they offer, will have more sodium than the others. So you're likely, at the very least, covering like foundational level needs for sodium. And again, your needs may be higher. All right, in the remaining 5 or so minutes, I wanna touch on race week nutrition. It's kind of crazy how quickly time flies. Race week nutrition. So I'm gonna start with hydration. Usually I end with hydration, but I'm gonna start here with hydration. Make sure your hydration needs are still being met. So it's race week, you're not running as much, you may not be running at all, some people. Therefore you're not as thirsty, you're not sweating as much. You're also out of routine, right? You're out of routine, maybe you're not bringing your bottle along with you because you're not driving to your run or whatever the case is. All of that can equal, I often see it, not enough water intake, like their water intake just drops. So make sure that you are staying on top of that. Make sure you're still hydrating. Maybe your needs do reduce a little bit, like maybe it is like 10, 15, 20 ounces less than what you were just doing, you know, in training weeks. But it's still higher than when people just let it go. Usually when people let it go, it like cuts it in half. And I still want people to pay attention to their water intake and part of hydration, electrolyte intake. Like continue your electrolyte usage. May not be daily, but if you went from daily electrolyte usage and we're feeling great, and now you're, you know, barely training for race week, then maybe like at least 2, if not 3 or 4 days, you're still using electrolytes to kind of boost your hydration. Carb loading, it's a super important one. Also very, you know, people talk about carb loading or they're told that carb loading is something they should be doing, and often it's gotten wrong. So what people are often being recommended is, or maybe what they're interpreting, is that they should just carb load the day before a lot, right? Like they got their main race, half marathon or marathon, you know, the next morning. So the night before they need to, you know, just eat a bunch of carbs, eat a bunch of pasta, eat a bunch of rice, eat a bunch of pizza, whatever the case is. That is not the way I necessarily recommend it. I usually recommend people to start carb loading about 2, if not 3 days before race day. And really to only incrementally increase carbs. So if someone was eating like 50% of their diet was from carbohydrates, so carbs, fat, protein, 50% of their calories were coming in from carbs, then really all they're doing like day three out is like increasing that 50% to 55%. Day two and day one out, they're increasing it to about 60, maybe 65% of carbs. So it's incremental improvements. It's not doubling. It's not loading up in one meal all the carbs that you need. And it's not only doing it on the day of, because that can often lead to digestive distress. So morning of, when it's, you already got race nerves going and you know you're feeling weird from a bathroom usage standpoint, having all of that excess carbs still kind of in your system, not being fully digested, again, because you didn't sleep well, because of nerves, how that impacts your digestive system, just not super ideal. You often may just feel bloated, heavy, not really light, and you want to feel, you know, light and not bloated. So carb loading about 2 or 3 days before is a much more just an easier way for folks to kind of handle the making sure they're getting enough carbs aspect to race week. Here are things to avoid days before. If anyone has comments or questions about carb loading, you can also DM us in Rundoyen or message me through rundoyen.com. Find me and just, there's a feature to actually message me. So you're welcome to do that. Day or days before, avoid. So these are things to either really reduce or, like I said, avoid. High fiber foods, usually not avoid, particularly like days out, but it may be a food that you wanna reduce. So if you have a sensitive digestive system or you know broccoli or beans or seeds or nuts really kind of do a number on you, or sometimes you can overdo it and you can have some digestive distress, you know, the next day or even for a couple of days, then those are ones you probably want to not avoid necessarily, but reduce at the very least, especially in the days leading up to the race. You don't want to have any kind of issues race morning, right? So you may want to reduce those foods. Or if it's like greens and salads, things like that, or broccoli, then cook them. Don't eat, you know, avoid eating them raw. Don't eat them in excess. But you can still have them in your diet, but maybe you have to cook them or just keep the serving portion smaller. Spicy foods, not usually ideal for the day or before, maybe 2 days before a race, especially if one's sensitive to spicy foods. Don't overly do it. And maybe it's okay to have a little bit, but don't overly do it. You know yourself. Alcohol, I often, even if people I just usually recommend reducing, if not avoiding, alcohol in 2 days before. If it's a race for the year, just reduce it. Just save it for after the race, right? It's not going to usually help the situation, and it can worsen sleep. So for those reasons alone, like just reduce it or keep it out and just enjoy it, you know, after the race. Excess caffeine, same reason. Thinking about sleep here, thinking about heightened nervous system, what that can do for digestion. So again, not saying no caffeine, also not necessarily saying no alcohol, but really just if you don't need it, don't drink it. And for caffeine, maybe just reduce it. Don't just have, you know, a lot in those couple of days before. And then food sensitivity. So this is a larger category. This is any foods that you know that you are sensitive to. So that's just personal to you all, right? Avoid those, right? Don't, whether that's wheat or dairy or eggs or garlic, like whatever the case is, just avoid the, like really try your best to avoid those foods during race week, but especially in the few days leading up to race day. That's just to make sure that you're, you know, you've got a cleaner system and you're heading into race day, race weekend, without any kind of issues. It's gonna boost your confidence so much. The last thing people need before their day, their race day or morning of, is their stomach feeling off. Like that is just going to, not only is that physically stressful for the body, but mentally that's gonna really put you in a sour mood. You don't wanna be in a sour mood when you're trying to, you know, chase a PR or chasing like a big event. Days before to add. So these are super light recommendations here. And honestly, I'm just thinking about calming the body and improving sleep. So I thought of herbal tea or green tea. Green tea is a way to kind of switch off coffee and maybe rotate in green tea instead of coffee to kind of control for some of the caffeine. And also green tea has a more calming effect than coffee does. And then herbal tea to help with sleep. So race week, you know, as you get closer, maybe there's some nerves going on, you're not expending those nerves, right? Or kind of dealing with those, that extra energy throughout the day because you're not running as much. So herbal tea might be nice throughout the day, especially at nighttime, to help kind of calm the body down and enjoy some good quality sleep. And then lastly, thinking of supporting the immune system, right? Your routine is off, you're running less, which is great for, you know, supporting the immune system. Maybe, I don't know, for some other reasons, you know, your immune system does kind of take a little bit of a hit in the during taper time. So we just want to make sure that you don't get sick during race week, right? It's the last thing people want to do. So thinking of garlic, ginger, turmeric, I mentioned those dark greens, so turmeric as a turmeric spice or turmeric powder. Berries, so other kind of fruits, again, for the antioxidants. And then also reducing alcohol and not drinking excess caffeine to help with sleep, because sleep is going to play its own critical role in supporting the immune system. So again, do things that support and nourish the immune system during race week. It's really going to benefit you in terms of just staying healthy, staying confident, and avoiding, you know, getting sick in race week, which again, is not uncommon for that to happen. And again, it's the last thing a runner would want. Okay, that was a lot for 30 minutes or so. A lot more than I could have covered. And we, of course, could go deeper, and this is just not the format to go as deep. But maybe another podcast episode is a nice place to go deeper. If anyone has additional comments or questions about, let's just call it nutrition, but for certainly around like best recovery foods, vitamins and minerals for endurance, and then race week nutrition, the three topics we covered today. Again, you can DM us. I'll find my way to those questions. Or you can get to rundoyan.com and find your way to nutrition coaching, and you can contact me there. And if you want to work with me, I'd love to work with you. The details of such are on that webpage when you find the nutrition coaching page. Thank you all for being here. And it's afternoon my time, it's evening your time, or morning your time. Again, just thank you for taking the time to be here. And can get in touch if you want to potentially work together, or if you have any questions. Take care, and yeah, we'll see you around. Bye, everyone.
And thanks so much to Coach Will for his time this week and his just vast knowledge of nutrition and recovery and running and all that kind of good stuff. It was a fun listen. And, I've got Coach Will's info in the show notes below if you want to find that nutritionist. He can help you crush those nutrition goals. I wanted to point out, we're here, it's Christmas season, and so in the spirit of Christmas, you know, the gifts keep coming. We're going to be back on December 26th, the day after Christmas, with another Instagram Live replay. We're actually going to have Coach Will Benitez and new coach, who is also a Team USA World Marathon Championships qualifier, Nico Montanez. They're going to be talking and chatting, and so we're going to have that for you on the 26th of December. Can't wait for that one. It's a great conversation. Hey, before you leave, check out the show notes below. Make sure you click on all those links, check it out, and until next time, have a great run. Thank you for joining us here on the Next Level Running Podcast, your source for training advice from the expert coaches at Rundoyan. If you're ready to take your training and racing to the next level, head over to rundoyan.com and get matched to your ideal coach, who will provide you with the highly customized online training you need for crushing your goals on race day.